Good morning, and first, some good news. Elizabeth tracked down the gavel for me. So we got that back, but I see we have a quorum, so I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. It's just after 10 a.m. on Wednesday, September 11th, 2024. And given the significance of this date, I'd appreciate if we could all sort of take a moment of silence to remember 9/11. Perhaps we could stand and remember silently. Additionally, I'd like to remember the family of our own Daniel Newcomb, whose mother passed away suddenly. Daniel, our sincere condolences for you. If you'd join me in the pledge. Pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It takes us to item two on our agenda, accept comments from members of the public. We have one person that signed up, Melissa Rao, if you would like to address us.
Podium move today, yeah.
Kind of made an adjustment here. Changing it up, huh?
Good morning, Chairman and Board and Mr. Turco. Today is the anniversary of 9/11, and may we never forget. I ran into your general manager, Mr. Turco, a couple of weeks ago, and I said, you know, it'd be great if I could hear the board better when you're here in the meeting. It's hard to hear you guys. And actually, when you're listening to the recording, and he said back, well, it's hard to hear, besides you, Melissa, it's hard to hear your board. And I was like, oh, touche, you know, because it's hard to hear the guys at our meetings too. So good point, Mr. Turco. It would be great though if you guys would air this live so anyone who's not able to make the over an hour drive down here would be able to listen while you're having your meetings. I'd like to also say I don't believe spending money on another lobbyist is being a very good steward of the ratepayers' money. It was mentioned last meeting, your concern about influences from other agencies such as ours, and I'd like to remind you that your board is appointed, whereas our board with the North Harris County Regional Water Authority, we were elected by the ratepayers. So our constituents elected us, you guys are appointed. So I hope you all take the time to really understand the position of our water authority. And I'm looking forward to the workshop you'll have today. So I'm glad your review's about done. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We didn't have anybody else who signed up, but if there's anybody else in the audience who would like to make public comment, this is the opportunity to do that. All right. Item three on our agenda. Approval of the minutes of the regular board meeting held on August 14th, 2024.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Both.
Motion.
Mr. Lovell.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion needed? Hearing no discussion, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving our minutes of the regular board meeting held on August 14th, 2024, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carried.
I was absent, so I'll abstain.
Elizabeth, please record the abstention. Item four on our agenda. Receive the hearing examiner's report and consider granting, denying, or amending applications for water well permits heard in August 2024 or prior.
Good morning, Chair and Board members. The report has been prepared with the recommendations based upon the applicant's information that was submitted and the public hearing. There are no additional reports to be added to this morning's booklet, so we'd accept any questions you have concerning the recommendations.
Any questions from board members? Well, looks like y'all did a good job. So, do we have a motion?
Move approval. Move for approval.
Is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the recommendations as presented. Does anybody need to abstain from any of the permits in the report? Any further discussion or any additional questions? All right, I'll call for the vote. All in favor of approving the hearing examiner's report and recommendations, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item five, on our agenda, consider emergency permits reviewed by the general manager. As the board knows, it's not an action item per se, but allows us to ask questions of any of these issues that come before the general manager in the last 30 days. We only had one in the last 30 days, but if there are any questions about it, let me know. Any questions? Okay, not hearing any questions regarding this item needed. We'll go on to item six. Consider a resolution approving a contract for the Texas Water Development Board, with the Texas Water Development Board to investigate the hydrogeology of the Brazos River alluvium. I understand that the contract itself wasn't quite ready, so we're not specifically taking any action on this item today, but Mike, did you want to update us on the item?
Sure, just very briefly, the Science and Research Committee looked over this project and its relation to our Science and Research Plan back earlier this year, at the early part of this year. We've been working with Water Development Board and the Brazos River Authority, which is a partnership with the Bureau of Economic Geology to evaluate the a portion of the Brazos River alluvium near Waco. This is an area that is developing rapidly, and the alluvium is being looked at as a possible municipal water source when it's been used historically as a agricultural water source, and that's an issue, a potential issue for base flow in the river. And as we all know, the Brazos River supplies a lot of the alternative water in Galveston County and in neighboring counties. So it was it's a project to look at the hydrogeology and the potential impact of increased development on ultimately on the base flow of the river. So I included the scope of work in there. Chairman had mentioned, we did not receive the contract from the Water Development Board, but I expect to have it for your October meeting. So we'll talk about it more then.
Can I buy a clue?
Sure.
What is EM?
So
I couldn't find that as a defined term in here.
So it's electromagnetic survey. So what they'll do is airborne electromagnetic resistivity to identify the various types of sand in the alluvium.
Well, I'm all over it now. Thanks.
Yes, it's your own house. Okay.
Mike, I have a question.
Sure.
You're talking about the water in the upper Brazos River around Waco, if I'm correct, right?
Middle Basin, but yes. Yeah.
Okay. If my memory serves me correct, about 4 years ago, the Brazos River went dry down near Freeport. How will this affect the Brazos River flow around Freeport, as Galveston County receives about 90% of their water from the Brazos River from Rocheron Pumping Station?
Yeah, so the flood of 2011, which is when we even saw the river go tidal as far well inland because of the drought. That's one of the reasons why, looking at this and understanding how that development might impact base flow, and the base flow is really important for us. So that's why we'd be a part of it. But we don't know the answer to that yet, so this type of study would help us better answer that.
Would we be able to, just hypothetically, refuse water in the upper area then if it would be a drought situation because of this study?
Well, we wouldn't be, but we're working with the Brazos River Authority and the Water Development Board. So this would be one of what are probably many studies, including ongoing studies of monitoring up there, to understand the impact of development of that resource. So this is just one of those baseline foundational studies that would need to be done to understand how it might impact.
And the Brazos River Authority has a river master that will be overseeing this?
I don't know if the River Master will be involved or not. That's for the Brazos River Authority to work out, but the Brazos River Authority is a partner in this study, or is planned to be a partner in this study.
The reason I'm asking questions is because Galveston County is a very largely dependent upon this Brazos River flow, and that's my concerns.
Yeah, and I should point out, and I failed to mention this, the Gulf Coast Water Authority is a partner in this as well. Yep. Thank you. Good question.
Any other questions? All right, thanks, Mike. Which takes us to item 7, so you're back up. General Manager's report.
Sure, just a few things. Again, we have a workshop here immediately following our meeting today, and that's related to our joint regulatory plan review, which is why you don't have a joint regulatory plan review report out today. I will mention that we have had Region H Water Planning Group has met. The GMA 14 met at the end of August, and you can look at that meeting online. It's on the Lone Star GCD's website. We've had discussions related to the GMA, and there's been a letter back and forth between Senator Perry and Senator Creighton. I've included that, so you have a copy of that, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that if you have any questions. The Governmental Affairs Committee met in September, and we'll be working with them in the fall to prepare for the next legislative session. We had a Rules Committee meeting last week. Finance Committee met for their first time for the 2025 budget. We have planned a budget workshop after the October board meeting, so we'll talk about the 2025 proposed budget then. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions for Mike?
Are you going to say anything about this Brandon Creighton letter?
Well, I included it in your packet for your information. It actually didn't. It was sent to us, but we weren't on the receiving line on that letter. But ultimately, it replied back to Senator Perry's letter before, and we'll be talking with Senator Creighton here later on this month.
As I understand, you were actually trying to schedule a meeting with him before this letter came out.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
But he sent his letter, so.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess, and I maybe I don't want to get into an area I shouldn't get into, but with Senator Perry's letter that he sent out, I think one of our concerns in the committee meeting was, you know, do we run around and make sure that we tell everybody, you know, what's going on and what the problems are? And I noticed that one of Brandon Creighton's concerns were he was not brought in and informed before the letter of Perry went out. And I'm not sure that we would have been able to do that. I'm not sure that Perry didn't pull the trigger quicker than we could have responded.
Well, I think that is probably what happened, and we were trying to get in to see Creighton, but
before we could get in there, that other letter went out.
Yeah,
and so. We're just trying to inform folks on the status of the GMA and the role of the regional planning. We certainly have had good conversations with Senator Creighton in the past, and look forward to talking to him again soon.
He's normally a very reasonable guy.
I mean, I'd be interested in hearing Greg's comments if, as and when appropriate. So,
Greg, do you have anything you'd like to add to the to Senator Creighton's letter to Senator Perry? You may have to go to the podium. Okay.
in part, this is going to be a fight between the two chairmen, and when the two chairmen are fighting, it's best to stay out of the way. I think that it's not surprising that Senator Creighton kind of backed up Lone Star's interpretation of the statutes. I still think it's incorrect interpretation of the statutes, and but again, the outcome of this disagreement is we either get legislation that will clarify that position one way or the other, make it absolutely clear, or we can present the same interlocal agreement that we've had in the past, and those who want to sign it will sign it, those who don't, won't. And that's, I think that's where things stand at this point. I certainly don't think it's worth having a big fight over. I think that Senator Perry has already announced he plans on filing legislation. So we definitely need, if he's going to file something, we definitely need to work with him on what we think that should say. And I think it would be a good clarification added to the Interlocal Cooperation Act as to who can put money into what type of studies. And that would be where I would recommend that they address this. But I don't know that we need to become an advocate on either side of this. We just need to make sure that we're doing what the legislature intended for us to do. And we now have a split in the legislature as to what they intended for us to do. I have to say, on a personal vantage point, I find it very hard to believe that anyone would intend that the subsidence district, which covers the entire city of Houston, pretty much, with a very minor encroachments into other counties, would be completely frozen out of working with other districts to complete the planning process. It just really kind of surprises me that that's even an argument. Their stated concern is we are not bound by the same limitations they're bound by through the DFC process. But we have already done so much more than the DFC would have required us to do. It seems like a silly argument to me. If we were allowing pumping far beyond what the DFC would allow, then I could, that argument would make sense, but we're not. We're far ahead of where the DFC would put us. And I don't know if you've looked at the data in the annual report, but if you look at it closely, you can see we're currently producing less groundwater than we were in 1975. And I count that as a huge success for this agency. And we've done everything that we can possibly do and more to achieve the goals the legislature has set for us as a subsidence district. And but it is one aquifer, and it does what happens up in Montgomery County affects what goes on here. And what was going on here was affecting what was happening up in Montgomery County until we were able to reduce the demand, and we'll reduce that demand even further over the next 10 years. So anyway, I could answer any questions about it.
So what committee does Creighton chair?
Oh, that's a good question. It's not, I think, for some reason I'm thinking education.
I thought it was higher ed. Higher education.
Higher education, yeah. That's it.
Got plenty to do.
Notably, we haven't heard anything from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. He may be the decider on this issue.
But ultimately, we'll talk to Senator Creighton and give him additional information that he may not have been provided by the Lone Star, and then we'll work with them to help clarify the law if that needs to be done, or continue to work in the capacity that we have right now in the GMA. Ultimately, the GMA 14, many cycles ago, invited us to the table, asked us to be there. We participated in that as our role as a regional groundwater provider, as a regional resource to them, and are willing to do that as in that capacity or not. That's kind of where we're at, and that's what I told them at the GMA meeting last month. And I'll say that at the GMA meeting, if you get a chance to watch it, I think that what you'll see is that there's a lot of support for things to continue the way that they've been from the other GMA participants. But we'll see how it goes.
All right. Any other questions for Mike? All right, that takes care of item 7 then. Item 8 on our agenda, consultation with our general counsel on recent litigation on groundwater issues and legislative issues. Greg, do you have anything else to add on any of those items? Or?
Real quickly, I wanted to mention the Cod versus Cactus Water case again. This is the one where one company had purchased the mineral rights over a surface with it beneath the surface estate, and the surface estate owner then sold the groundwater rights to another company. And when the oil and gas company began trying to sell the produced water, the water that comes up with the oil and gas production, then the company that owns the groundwater estate objected to that and filed a lawsuit, and that's now pending before the Texas Supreme Court. The question is, who owns the groundwater that's produced with oil and gas? Please, I got distracted as I just got the petitioner's brief on the merits, which was filed by the person who purchased the groundwater estate. I wanted to see what their arguments were. And I don't see anything new or exciting here. I think they have a pretty good argument that when the Supreme Court in Dan McDaniel declared that the surface estate owner owns as a vested property right, the groundwater beneath their property, that created this controversy. Before that, we had the rule of capture, which is not a property right law, but says, you know, that if your neighbor pumps so much water that it dries up your well, that's your tough luck. That doesn't sound like a vested property right to me. That sounds like something that can be lost by the actions of somebody else. And in property law parlance, that's called a defeasible fee. So had they declared it as a defeasible fee, then they wouldn't be having this argument with oil and gas industry today. In my opinion, if they want to keep the Dan McDaniel decision the way that it was as a vested property right, then they're going to have to rule in favor of the groundwater estate owner and say that they do own that produced water. And if they want to find for the oil and gas companies, I think they're going to have to reform what Dan McDaniel says, and instead of calling it a vested property right, they need to call it a feasible fee. I don't know that anybody's making that argument yet. I kind of expected the groundwater state owner to make that argument. They didn't, or at least answer it. And we'll have to see what the oil and gas companies, when they file their brief, which is going to be due. They just filed a motion for extension of time to file a brief, which is kind of pro forma. That happens throughout this process. I always ask for extensions. So their brief is going to be due sometime in October, and we'll have to see what they argue. But it's the kind of case that only interests the water lawyers. but in my opinion, this was completely caused by Dan McDaniel. There's no other reason that it could be. This would even be a controversy. It'll also be interesting to find out if they rule that the surface state owner owns that produced water across most of the state. That's the job of the oil and gas producer to deal with that really nasty water that comes up with oil and gas as a waste product, and they typically will have to drill very deep injection wells and reinject that water in order to get rid of it. And if the Supreme Court declares that's now owned by the surface estate owner, those oil and gas companies might say, well, this is your problem now. Take care of it. So I think that this sword may swing both ways here. There are now 5 Cockrell cases, by the way. 2 more have been filed, and they're still in the lower level of the courts. I have to see what those are about. The other ones are being briefed. There are 2 cases being briefed before the Supreme Court, and the third one is in front of the 8th Court of Appeals, and we'll have to see what happens with those. Right now, they're arguing over the timing of when an appeal should be filed, which doesn't really affect us at all. The issue I really care about that I'm trying to watch for is, and it might be addressed by the Supreme Court eventually, is once a permit has been issued and is being renewed by the district, can somebody come in at any point during the renewal process to object and file a protest and get a contested case hearing on renewal of that permit? Right now, I would think the answer is no. It should be no. In fact, under 36, almost all permits are automatically renewed. They don't even, they're not even scheduled for a hearing, which is part of what these folks are objecting to. But we'll have to see what the courts do with that if they even reach that issue. Right now, it's more about procedure than it is the substance. Are you happy to answer any questions?
Any questions for Greg? All right.
Thank
you very much.
Thanks, Greg.
And we don't have any executive session items, as I understand. So that concludes our regular agenda, right on time at 10:30. So I'll declare this meeting adjourned.